мов кішка по дахах серед ночі. Ні стін, ні град для неї нема, одна на цілий світ. Нечутно зазирну вікно, де тінь твоя гуляє по стелі. Я знаю її образ як свій, та не бачиш ти без слів, навіщо я прийшла? Можливо, краще вирвати цю іскрину божевілля із себе. Та без тебе був би сірий мій світ, я твоя навік.
From a group that I recently encountered online through social media. That singer was Ira Yakubovska, and she's with a group called Tangerina, and that is a group whose name was inspired by Led Zeppelin's song Tangerine. And got that song from Ira herself off of SoundCloud, where you can get it as well yourself. And you'll be hearing more from Ira and Tangerine here on Nash Holos. Вітаю вас всіх, дорогі радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. Говорить Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Ми маємо дуже цікаві новини на сьогоднішній програмі, також чудову українську музику. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm your host, Pavlina. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got Ukrainian Jewish heritage and another interesting look at Ukrainian Jewish relations in the early to mid-20th century. As well, we have a feature interview with an American Ukrainian woman who was recently in Ukraine with Ukraine War Amps and their Adopt a Soldier and Visit a Soldier program. She was actually at the front in the war zone and meeting up with many of the soldiers in Ukraine. So stay tuned for all of that. She'll be telling us all about her fascinating adventure and experiences there. As well, we've got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is another new release. This is by a singer from Lviv, and his name is Dima Kondrashov. And here he is now with Shtel Den Den, Yet Another Day.
Ще одна ніч з тобою, я до тебе вже приріс душою, але мало мені, я відчуваю в собі, мені тебе замало, мало завжди, мені так добре з тобою, коли ти поруч зі мною. Я відчуваю душою, це усе мене, але тобі скажу ще.
Я піднімуся в Карпати, полонину ватру клади. заграти, пісню заспівати, гей, пісню заграти, пісню заспівати. Ай, ріго, ріго, шарго, ріго, шарго, ріго, езеріо. Ай, ріго, ріго, шарго, ріго, шарго, ріго, езеріо. У тумані гори білі, красні, у дівчини очі ясні, ей. Файно майте стяні в руку, повертайтеся щороку. Там зустріне вас родина, на руках мала дитина, ей. Я піднімуся в Карпати, полонину ватру класти, пісню заграти, пісню заспівати, гей, пісню заграти, пісню заспівати. Ай, ріго, ріго, шарго, ріго, шарго, ріго, езеріо. Ай, ріго, ріго, шарго, ріго, шарго, ріго, езеріо. Go, go, shargo, go, shargo, go, re-ce-ce. Ай, go, go, shargo, go, shonya, dívky, nechce-ce. Hey, hey! Щось ми іграв у суботу, ай, ту-ту ноту, що зграв у суботу, гей, ай, ту-ту ноту, що зграв у суботу, ай, ріго-ріго, шарго-ріго, шарго-ріго, везеріо, ай, ріго-ріго, шарго-ріго, шарго-ріго, везеріо, ай,
and a Ukrainian singer by the name of Ivan Pelopets with Karpatsky Chardash, a dance called the Chardash from the Carpathian Mountains. And coming up next is a duo of Sviatoslav Vakarchuk, and famously of Okean Elze, and also Ukrainian songstress Kristina Solovey, and Hamaretsky Krai, American Land.
Полетів би на край світа, як вітер штовх полі літать, гей, в Гамерицький край. Лем, жаль, Митя, моя хижо, лем, жаль, Митя, моя хижо, солом'яна жаль. Лем, жаль, Митя, моя хижо, лем, жаль, Митя, моя хижо, солом'яна жаль. Кой в нас превелика біда, не можна заробить хліба, гей, мушу їхать вдаль. Лем, жаль мі вас, мої верхи, лем, жаль мі вас, мої верхи, зелені жаль. Лем, жаль мі вас, мої верхи, лем, жаль мі вас, мої верхи, зелені. Thank you.
без три зими вали. Ой, жаль ми вас, жаль. Бо й на цей бим поїхав, бо й на цей бим поїхав американський
Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. And now for a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter based in Toronto, Ontario.
Welcome to Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Peter Baker. Centennials offer moments for reflection. The 100th anniversary of a major turning point in history provides an excellent opportunity for reevaluation and reconsideration. In the spring of 1917, the Russian Empire came to an abrupt end. The Russian Revolution consumed the former imperial capital of Petrograd. Ukraine was breaking away, and Jewish and Ukrainian political leaders in KU moved boldly to set up a striking new relationship between the two nationalities. This new relationship, and its eventual failure, is examined in the book A Prayer for the Government, Ukrainians and Jews in Revolutionary Times, 1917 to 1920, a book published in 1999. The author, Dr. Henry Abramson, serves as dean at Touro's Lander College of Arts and Sciences in Brooklyn, New York. A native of Northern Ontario, he received his PhD in history from the University of Toronto. He has gone on to visiting and postdoctoral positions at Cornell, Harvard, Oxford, and the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. Abramson writes that a potential newborn friendship between Ukrainians and Jews emerged in that revolutionary year of 1917. This was a tentative rapprochement between two groups that had lived for centuries in what Abramson calls an intimate insularity. This newborn friendship at first blossomed, resulting in the appointment by the new Ukrainian government of the first Minister of Jewish Affairs in modern history. This was an attempt to provide Jewish political autonomy in the new Ukrainian state. It was what Abramson called a bright chapter in the long history of the Jewish people, one in which Jews were emancipated into a free state, and they were given privileges as a minority that exceeded even those in Western Europe and America. However, Abramson points out Ukrainian parties could not communicate their liberal program to the peasantry, and he noted Jewish activists were too far removed from the ordinary Jewish citizen to mobilize widespread support from the Ministry of Jewish Affairs. By the spring of 1919, Ukraine was submerged by a wave of violence. This is one of the darkest chapters of Jewish history, with pogroms that were only overshadowed later by the Holocaust. Abramson's meticulous account traces how the attempt by both Jews and Ukrainians to achieve a working political relationship was betrayed by less enlightened attitudes among the general population. Abramson also addresses the national agendas that have emerged in the historiography of Ukrainian-Jewish relations during the revolution. This issue has been particularly fraught since the assassination of the Ukrainian revolutionary leader Simon Petlura in Paris in 1926. His assassin, Samuel Schwarzbard, was acquitted in a controversial trial. Abramson acknowledges the trial has overshadowed Ukrainian-Jewish relations and heavily influenced historical research up to this very day. Scholars have attempted to either justify or condemn the trial's outcome. Most studies have focused on either the anti-Jewish pogroms or the participation of Jews in the Ukrainian revolutionary movement. Abramson's stated goal is to provide a synthesis of these two trends and to achieve a more comprehensive understanding of the period. At the end of the day, Abramson concedes that the prognosis for Jewish autonomy in Ukraine, and by extension cordial Jewish-Ukrainian relations, was poor. He notes that, first of all, the stratum of society that participated in the rapprochement between the two communities was too thin. It was not well grounded in the population at large. Most importantly, the political and social situation in Ukraine was simply too unstable. Abramson reminds us the young Ukrainian state was confronted by hostile neighbors on all sides. The struggle for Ukrainian independence in the years 1917 to 1920 was marked by chaos. Abramson writes, "As the Great War dragged into revolution, foreign occupation, and again revolution, the unrest and disorder provided an opportunity for hooligans and criminals to terrorize the population. These thugs, whether in military uniform or not, found minorities to be an attractive target." Revolutions liberate, but also remove restraints. Abramson found the title for his detailed study of this tumultuous era from a quote from the Torah by Rabbi Hanina, the deputy high priest, who said, "Pray for the welfare of the government, for were it not for the fear of it, people would swallow each other alive." A prayer for the government, Ukrainians and Jews in revolutionary times, 1917 to 1920, was distributed by Harvard University Press for the Ukrainian Research Institute and Center for Jewish Studies at Harvard University. The book can be ordered from Amazon.com. This has been Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. From San Francisco, I'm Peter Baeger. Until next time, Shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more about their work, visit their website and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage are available at their website, UkrainianJewishEncounter.org, as well as at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com.
Чуєш серце зов, як заграє раптом кров, не турбуйся, не лякайся, це любов, а любов річ неземна, не спахнена, чарівна, і відмовить ти не в силі, і я, ти з любові собі не жартуй, і з моїх почуттів не кипкуй, бо що сталося мені, може статися й тобі, а за те ти мене не вінуй, бо не знаєш години ні дня, як в один так заб'ються серця, не поможе тоді вже нічого ніхто тобі, як до тебе любов завіта, не поможе тоді вже нічого ніхто тобі, як до тебе любов завіта.
sounding very New York klezmerish. That was Kiev Orchestra Trio with Tez Lubo, Sabi Nezhertui, Your Love is No Joke. Next up, Anash Hollis feature interview. Ukraine War Amps was founded in Toronto in July 2014 by John Broadhead and Jean Berezovsky as an ongoing coordinated effort to assist wounded veterans of Ukraine and the families of the fallen to reclaim their lives as well as limbs shattered by the war. Their two main projects are Adopt a Soldier, which launched Ukraine War Amps, and then about a year later they launched a new campaign called Visit a Soldier. And these campaigns have given hope as well as new life to so many Ukrainian amputees. Now, back in October of 2015, we spoke with the first donor to the Visit a Soldier campaign, Catherine Anna Olga Cook. Catherine is from Maine, but her parents were both born in Ukraine, and so her Ukrainian roots run pretty deep. If you didn't catch that interview or would like to hear it again, you can check the podcast for October 28th, 2015. In that interview, she said then that it wouldn't be her last trip to Ukraine, and as it turns out, it certainly wasn't. Catherine is just back from another trip to Ukraine with Ukraine War Amps, the Visit a Soldier program, and she joins us now by phone from Maine. Welcome back to Nash Holos, Catherine. Vitayu.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Well, I guess I should say welcome home as well. When did you get back?
I got back on the 2nd of April.
So you've been back for about a month then. And how long were you there?
Just for 2 weeks.
Oh, again, just for 2 weeks. Now, the last time we talked, you said only 2 weeks. I guess they went fast.
I know. It is only 2 weeks. It goes so fast. It's horrible.
Yeah. Now, I watched your posts on Facebook, and I have to tell you how much I admire your bravery. Although I also feared, I feared for your safety, too, as you put yourself in harm's way a fair bit. Now, but I guess there really that was the best way to understand what Ukrainian soldiers and their families are experiencing, to actually do that yourself.
That's correct, yes. I mean, to put on a bulletproof vest that they use and the helmet and feel the weight and know that I wouldn't be able to run if I had to because of the weight, it just puts some more things into perspective.
Yeah, I guess it kind of rejigs your brain to think about your survival and safety before you think really about anything else.
Yes. You think about each other, I think, mainly, you know? Everybody seems to watch out for each other.
So tell me then, I'm going to ask you more about your experience later, but I want to also ask you about how you found out about Ukraine War Amps in the first place and what inspired you to get involved with them.
I was in communication with a lot of Ukrainian Americans down here when the war started, with fundraising auctions and different things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was on Facebook one day, and the Ukraine War Amps popped up when, you know, the section where they say you may be interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately clicked on it, learned about it, and that was exactly what I wanted to do. I mean, fundraising and everything is really good, and it helps, but to actually have contact and help soldiers that, I mean, you know, the money is going directly to these men, and you know about them and how their rehab is going, that is very good. I mean, that tells me where my money's going, and it makes me feel like I'm helping more personal.
So it doesn't, when you come back to your mundane workaday job, you have a different appreciation for it, I suppose, as well.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, you don't really resent working so much because you know that you can donate a portion of it to somebody who really needs it.
That's right. They're part of my budget now. Yeah.
So tell me now, you said you put on a bulletproof vest. Where in Ukraine did you go that you needed to wear that bulletproof vest?
Well, I was in the east. We were just, we were touring in the east. And they told me to put it on, you know, and for pictures, I thought, you know, but it was quite humbling.
Did you need it? Did you? How close?
No.
No.
Thank God. No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, they wouldn't have.
But I thought of the soldiers that don't have them. You know, I have personally bought bulletproof vests and sent them over through contacts because so many of the soldiers don't have them.
Really?
Yes.
That's terrible.
It is.
How could an Army officer send a soldier out into war without being properly equipped and dressed?
Well, I don't know. I mean, an Army shouldn't. However, when you think of the Ukrainian psyche, though, and the boys and the men that I've met over there, they don't consider going to war a duty like they would in this country and perhaps Canada. They go for their families, for their ancestors, for themselves. I mean, it's a whole different mindset.
So it
took me a long time to figure that out.
So it sounds like it runs deeper than just, duty encompasses all of that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But this runs deeper. Tell me more about that.
Unfortunately, Ukraine has that horrible long past of always being in war and invaded and knowing relatives that have died through either war or starvation. And that's very much in their minds. And it wasn't until I was in Kharkov with a visitor soldier family, and he was telling me about his family, and I was listening, that suddenly my mind, it was like a switch went. And I stopped thinking like a Westerner and more like an Eastern European, and it all made sense. You know, when you go to war to fight, you are fighting for personal things. You're fighting for your home, your family, freedom. I mean, that's something a Westerner could never understand.
Well, because we are born into it. It's like we consider it our birthright. It's like we take it as much for granted as we do the air we breathe, really.
Right. Whereas they have only known democracy for a short time, and they don't want to go back to the old ways.
I've often wondered, the young people, how much do they, how much it got passed down information-wise from the people that lived in the Soviet era and that short transition era and then that really wonderful brief period, window of freedom. Did they fully understand their history? Because there was that gap in the Soviet era where it was stolen from them and they were fed all kinds of propaganda and rewritten stuff and all, you know, glory to the Soviet state, all kind of nonsense. And so a lot of the Ukrainian history was kept. People didn't even know what it was. I'm speaking with immigrants now who are kind of just realizing there's a whole world there opening up to them that they didn't realize, they didn't know about themselves.
Right. Yes. Well, the young people I met, their families were the storytellers. And they are well aware of their past and the time during the Soviets and even the times during the German occupation. So the ones that I met were fortunate to know all this history and value their freedom as much as their parents do. Because they know what the alternative could be.
Well, that certainly speaks to censorship and propaganda.
Yes.
How it doesn't work. I mean, it's so temporary because that stuff just goes underground. And then the first chance that it has to come out, it comes out in full force too, doesn't it?
It does.
So there is a real... what's the word I'm looking for? Determination, beyond determination, a compulsion of these people to go there, put their life on the line to preserve something that is just so new to them, freedom.
Yeah. I mean, even wounded soldiers who have lost limbs go back.
Really?
Any of them do.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Yeah. Because they know they can help, and it's sort of the same attitude, I think, of Ukraine war amps. If you can help, you do it. It doesn't matter, really, what you have to sacrifice, that extra dinner. You know, Ukraine war amps to sponsor a soldier is $50 a month. That's less than a dinner for two costs in a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, you can forego that and maybe another little luxury because you're helping. You know, you're helping a life, and very, very often when you help that life and then you get to meet their families, you're helping them all, including children who have a better appreciation of how the world is not turning their backs on them because so many people feel that way.
I imagine they must, because you don't hear anything anymore on the news about the war in Ukraine. And, you know, I just read Interpol has taken Yanukovych off their list. And you know, publications like Der Spiegel and the Wall Street Journal have printed stuff by Yanukovych as if he was like a normal, decent person. And I can imagine, and then too, Ukrainians, you know, go probably have access or they come visit the West and they turn on the news and there's nothing about Ukraine, nothing.
Yes. So they feel abandoned and forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So organizations like Ukraine War Amps, people like yourself going over there must really give them a boost in their morale.
It seems to. I was surprised. But again, I have to repeat that I get more from them than they do from me. Because it just, the love, the joy to be with them. And when you walk into a hospital room and knock on the door and there's wounded soldiers in a very, very small room, and you open the door and they see you and their faces light up. And I mean, that gives so much more to me than a visit to them could ever give.
Yeah,
you ask them, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
And they say nothing. They always say nothing.
Oh, of course.
But those soldiers have to provide their own food and medicine, so anything you can give helps.
So you said, you know, $50, and we're in Canada, and of course our dollar has taken a dive. So, you know, but even still, you add a little bit, 30% onto that. That's still less than $100, and that, you know, a lot of people go out for dinner and drop that without thinking about it.
Right.
And or like you say, something else. Quit smoking or drink drink less.
There you go.
Drink less beer. Well, that's like what, three or four bottles of wine. You know, and so that's what it would cost somebody here. What does that represent to somebody in Ukraine? What do they get for sacrifice of a dinner?
For example, one of the wounded soldiers that I stayed with in Kharkov, he got a letter that day telling what his pension was going to be, and he showed it to me, and I'd asked him, you know, how much is this? It was $150, and I said, is this a week? And he goes, oh, no, this is for a month.
Good heavens.
So that tells you a family of four has to live on $150 a month.
So even if you take into account that the hryvnia is about, what, 10 cents, 15 cents on the dollar?
Yeah, when I was there, it was like 26, I think. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, it's devalued that much. So it was about 16 when I was there. 2 years ago. Mm. Wow. So, okay. So we're 20, let's say 25 cents to a dollar.
Right.
So that would, how would that work out to, in US dollars? 25, $100 would be 2,500 hryvnia, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So essentially, let's say it's $2,500 roughly in our money that a family of four would live on. Like, what family of four in North America can live on $2,500?
Ah, nothing.
Yeah.
And of course, they don't have the welfare system that we have here in the West.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't work, if you don't get money, you don't eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you went on the Visit a Soldier program. So now tell me, they kind of go hand in hand, don't they? Like you sponsor a family, a soldier? In the Adopt a Soldier program?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's $50 a month then going to a family. Tell us about the soldier you've adopted.
My soldier I adopted is Leonid Morishan, Lonya, and he is from the Carpathians. And he was wounded 2 years ago. And I first met him this time last year. We finally met. And it was like I'd known him. He's 32 years old, and he just recently got married this year, and I had met him, and then 6 months later, I met him and his wife. They both came to Kiev, and this last time, I went to them. I took the plane to Ivano-Frankivsk, and then went up into the mountains and stayed with them, and his wife is a teacher. He is working in local government. He's been elected.
Oh, wow.
And just, which is amazing. But it's just the most wonderful atmosphere there. You know they don't have much. You know they saved for when I came. But it's just, I don't know how to describe him. He's my son. He really is.
So you have a family then, a family connection.
I do. Yes, I do.
So you form that kind of thing when you adopt a soldier. It actually is like a family member.
It really is, yeah. Yes. And the visit to soldier is the same. This time last year, I went to Cherkasy, and I stayed with a cyborg and his family, a soldier who had fought in Donetsk Airport.
Wow.
And I'd met a lot of his fellow soldiers from the same battles. And I even met the prisoner who was one of the prisoners who was taken. There's an awful video that's been going around that the Russians filmed. I met him as well his family. And I went again this last time specifically to visit this family because they've become my family as well. I have so much family over there right now.
Wow. And really, relatively small amount of money when you think about it to help them.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nothing. Yeah. And the experience to visit a soldier adds so much more to your life because, one, you know how us Ukrainians are. They are so welcoming. They are so loving. And they arrange sightseeing, and we talked about everything, and they just became so close to me. It was wonderful.
So much nicer than
staying. And I'll see them again next time.
Yeah, it's so much nicer than staying in a hotel and eating in restaurants by
goodness,
yourself.
Yes.
When I was there a couple of years ago, I met a cyborg as well, Avadim Dolgoruk, a triple amputee. And I don't know if you've seen my, I posted a video on YouTube about it. And,
yes, I have.
You have?
Yes.
Wasn't that wonderful? Of course, Nick Budarovsky. And he was my guide and translator at the time. And I saw you were hanging out with Nick a lot.
Oh, yes. He's my best friend. He really is.
He's just wonderful. And I also saw you in a picture with Yulia Paevska, an incredibly brave medic that spends a lot of time at the front.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. She is very, very well known over there now. Tyra is her call sign. And I help by sending supplies monthly from here to the medics over there as well. Because that's another thing they don't have.
Right.
Medical supplies.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's just so much more that I wanted to ask you, Catherine, but we're running out of time, unfortunately.
Oh, sorry. Once I get talking about Ukraine, I don't stop.
Well, and that makes my job easy, I'll tell you.
Good. Okay.
Oh, at any rate, well, one last question before we let you go. You've mentioned how much you get from donating. What would you say to anyone listening now who may have thought about donating to Ukraine War Amps but hasn't pulled out their wallet yet?
I would say you're not just donating to one person, especially us Ukrainian Americans and Ukrainian Canadians. We're donating to our culture because we know what Russia is like. If they take over a country, they wipe out the culture. We're keeping our culture alive. We're helping our soldiers who are giving up truly everything to fight. And when they're wounded, we're helping them live. Because without our support, they can't do it. They can't afford their medicine, food, and their families suffer. It's just such a small amount, and we have to give. We really do. These are the same blood as us. These are our people, and they are appreciative. They depend on the diaspora, and like I say, we get so much more from them than we could ever give to them. They are truly amazing people, the strongest people I've ever had the pleasure to know.
So I imagine you're thinking of returning to Ukraine again with the Ukraine War Amps?
Of course I am.
That
what
was
a question.
Sort of rhetorical question, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Catherine Anna Olga Cook, for coming on the show to tell us about your latest experience with Ukrainian War Amps Visit a Soldier campaign. All the best, and hope to speak with you again.
Okay, thank you, Paulina.
Okay.
My pleasure.
Okay, papa.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We were speaking with Catherine Anna Olga Cook from Maine in the United States about her recent trip to Ukraine with Ukraine War Amps Visit a Soldier program. The Ukraine War Amps has two main programs that put the money donated by their supporters to very good work. Adopt a Soldier provides monthly stipends of approximately $50 US to as many Ukrainian heroes as it can. But you can, if you can't afford $50 US, you can always donate whatever you can. 100% of the proceeds go towards Ukrainian veterans. So Visit a Soldier redirects funds that will be spent on hotel accommodation to the families of soldiers being helped by Ukraine War Amps, and also provides you, the donor, with a unique experience and perspective that ordinary tourists would never have. For more information, visit www.ukrainewaramps.ca, and to make a donation, visit www.ucaring.com/adopt_a_soldier. And that interview was recorded live on the May 10th Nanaimo edition of Nash Holos. And I do encourage you to look at Ukraine War Amps and consider making a donation, whatever you can afford, just to help out the needy Ukrainian veterans and their families in Ukraine. You can get more information at ukrainewaramps.ca or follow them on Facebook.
Ой, у лузі під Донбасом в кровову годину поставали наші хлопці знов за батьківщину. Поставали наші хлопці знов за батьківщину. Україну злії люди хочуть зґвалтувати, тому стали українці її захищати, тому стали українці її захищати. Із цієї України зібрались завзяті, грудьми стали до загину рятувати матір, грудьми стали до загину рятувати матір. Ради смерті урагани, смерть носила люта, та не зможуть ці тирани в рабство нас закути, та не зможуть ці тирани в рабство нас закути. Буде жити добра слава на землі козацькій, і збереже Бог державу у любові братській, і збереже Бог державу у любові братській.
And unnamed soldiers from the war zone in Ukraine with Oi Uluzi Pid Donbasom, a meadow in the Donbass. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave and satellite radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can get podcast links to all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter, and please like our Facebook page and follow our blog and our YouTube channel. Нежами вже скінчила наша програма. Пора нам прощатися на щодень, тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Яке знання, таке і поступ буде. And our proverb of the week translates as, progress depends on the quality of knowledge. Well, that about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos. To take us to the end of our program, we have the Canadian Rhythm Masters from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and the St. Andrews Polka. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, dopa bachenya.